Chapter 4, Writing in Your Files. Before we can write anything in the Braille light, we must create a file in which to write, or, in other words, open a blank page in our binder and give the file a name. And speaking of pages, let's talk for a minute about the Braille light page. The Braille light needs to know how many pages you want to use from the binder for each of your files. Each of these pages can hold up to 4,096 characters, something over 4 physical pages of Braille. What's most important to keep in mind here is that you need to define the number of pages you want to use in your file. The Braille light can hold over 180 pages. Remember, these are not physical Braille pages, nor are they physical print pages. They are the Braille light version of page. Later you'll see how easy it is to determine how many physical Braille or physical print pages are really in your file. By the way, remember from Chapter 1 that when the Braille light comes from the factory, it contains several files already. One of these is the file that holds your dictionary, called spell.dic. It is quite large, taking up 86 pages in MC. While this still leaves you a lot of room to add your own files, you may decide to remove the spell checker dictionary from your Braille light to give you even more room for other files. It's simply a matter of how you use the machine and how often you use the spell checker feature. Even if you do remove it, you can always add the spell checker dictionary again later. Also, even though you tell the Braille light that you want, say, 3 pages in your file, you can change your mind later and add pages to your file or get rid of extra ones you don't need after all. The bottom line is that the Braille light pages are each 4,096 characters worth of space. Now, let's create a file and start writing. To do this, we first have to get to the Options menu and its submenu, the Files menu. Point 4.1, the Files menu. Like any powerful computer, the Braille light lets you manipulate your files. From the Files menu, you can open an existing file and work in it, create a new file, rename an existing file, delete an unwanted file, even make an existing file bigger or smaller. One of the best features of the Braille light is that you never have to save a file. Any computer user knows how it feels to work diligently in a file, creating a masterpiece, only to have it disappear into that dreaded computer black hole. The Braille light isn't like that. The instant you create a file and name it, that file is saved for you, and anything you enter into it is automatically saved too. Yes, even when you turn the unit off. As we have mentioned earlier, turning the Braille light on and off does not affect your files in any way. It's like turning a radio off and turning it on again. Unless someone has come along and fiddled with the dial, you'll still be tuned to the same station when you turn it on again. New. 4.2, Creating a File. Let's create a file. To get to the Files menu, press an O chord. The Braille light says Options. Now, write a letter F. The Braille light responds, Enter File Command. Notice that we didn't tell you to press an E chord yet. The Braille light is now in menu mode, waiting for a command. Only after you issue a command can you press an E chord. Since our immediate goal is to create a file, let's write a letter C. The Braille light now prompts you for the name of your file with File to Create. Let's call our file Practice. Write Practice, spelling out each letter, and press an E chord. The Braille light now asks for the number of pages in your file with File Size. Let's just write a number 1 for now. Remember to enter the number in ASCII or dropped number notation, .T, and press an E chord. By the way, If you just want your file to contain one page, you can just press an E-chord at the prompt instead of writing the number one. Of course, if you want your file to have more than one page, you have to specify the number of pages you want the Braille light to set aside for the file you're creating. Finally, the Braille light asks whether you want Braille translation to be in effect for this file with Use Grade 2 Translator, Enter YRN. The default setting is on, so pressing an E-chord at this point accepts the default and opens the file for you. Or, if you want to write in computer Braille, answer the prompt with an N, and Grade 2 Braille translation will be off for this particular file. In either case, the Braille light confirms that we have created the file by saying, Practice now open. You're in your file, a blank page, ready to be filled with your personal data. But before we write in this new file, let's talk for a moment about file naming conventions. File names in the Braille light may be up to 20 characters in length. We suggest that you name files with no Grade 2 Braille contractions. You'll see why later. However, if you plan to send the Braille light files to a PC, modem, or our external disk drive, you must name your files using MS-DOS file naming conventions to prevent confusion for yourself later. New. And if you name a file with a .brl, .bfn, or .brf extension, the Braille light automatically turns on Grade 2 Braille translation for you, assuming that the file is meant to be in Grade 2 Braille. Let's briefly describe how MS-DOS file names work for those of you who may be new to the concept. Briefly, MS-DOS files can have two parts, a file name portion of up to 8 characters in length and an extension portion of up to 3 characters in length, separated by a period. For example, a file could be called address.txt or simply address. But it's not a good idea to call a file phonebook because the PC will only recognize phoneboo, spelled P-H-O-N-E-B-O-O. And you may think your file phonebook never made it to the PC when you transmitted it. More on all this in section 15.5 and Appendix A. For now, just be aware of the concept. Back in our newly created practice file, we're almost ready to write some text. But we still should check out some things first. We should find out where the cursor is, how much room there is in the file, and how to get help if we get stuck. Where is the cursor? Don't confuse this question with, is the cursor visible on the Braille display? We're just asking, how far from the beginning of the file is the cursor? How many characters are there between the beginning of the file and where we are? Press the WH sign chord dot 156 chord. The Braille light says, file is empty. And it should be. We haven't written anything yet. Try going to the top of the file, L chord, or end of the file, dot 456 chord. Try pressing a C chord to hear what's on the current line. The Braille light should say, file is empty. Room left in your file. To see how much room there is left to write in your file, in other words, how much free space there is after the last character in the file, press an R chord. The Braille light says, room left is 4096. Good. That is the size of one Braille light page, and since we haven't written anything yet, we should have 4096 free spaces left to use. As you start to fill up the file, this number will decrease. Don't worry about running out of room, though. We can make the file bigger if we need more space. 4.5, getting help. You may have figured out by now that the help file is a brief listing of commands. It assumes that you know how to do things with the Braille light and only want a tickler, a reminder, of the specific way to execute a command. It's very handy and is accessible from any file in your Braille light. Just need to jog your memory about a command? Press a TH sign chord from within any file. By the way, the TH sign is a question mark in computer Braille. This may help you to remember that chording the TH sign means help. The Braille light immediately jumps you into the help file. It says and displays help now open. Check through the help file for what you need, with the find command, say, and then press a Z chord to abort this procedure. You'll find yourself back in the file in which you were working. The Braille light displays something like 5, practice, 1, TB. The spoken prompt is simply something like practice is open. Let's briefly go over what the display shows. When describing a file in this way, the Braille light gives you up to 5 pieces of information. The first thing you see, even before the file name practice, is its number. We'll talk about how and why the Braille light numbers each file. Then, after the name, we're missing the number of characters in the file because we haven't written anything yet. But normally, some number appears right after the file name. Then you see 1TB to indicate that there is one Braille light page in your file and that the file is a grade 2 Braille file. Tap the advance bar and you'll be right back where you were in your file. In our case, the file called practice. Point 6. Writing text in your file. Well, we are finally ready to start writing. Write the sentence, "This is a practice file to learn how to write in the Braille light." Don't worry if you make mistakes. We can fix them. As we write, the Braille light is saying each character you Braille. And are you remembering to write in grade 2 Braille? Also, there are a couple of things to notice about the Braille display. First of all, as you write, you don't see the cursor we talked about earlier in section 3.1.1. Let's see where your cursor is now. DAWH signs chord. The Braille light should say, column 56, cursor at 57. Assuming that you didn't make any mistakes and that you wrote to Braille. Position 56 on the current line, and we are 57 characters from the beginning of the file. Don't worry if your numbers for cursor location differ from ours. Remember, this is only an example. What's important is that the column number is greater than 0. Keep that in mind. Now do another R chord and see how much room you have left in your file. The Braille light should say something like, room left is 4,039. You'll have to write quite a bit before you run out of room, trust us. Remember, you're using up Braille light space, not physical space on a piece of paper. That's what's so nice.
Continue on track 3, fast forward to the end of this side, turn the cassette over, and change the side to reference here. Continuing with section 4.6, writing text in your file.
It's going to be important to know how to format your files for printing or brailing. So let's take a look right now at how to do this before we write anything else. We look closely formatted the file, transmit to a printer, or Braille embosser in chapter 15. Here, we'll just focus on how you control what text goes on each line and each page. And in the next section, we'll work on preparing the layout of the text. 14.7, writing control characters into a file. In section 3.4, we said that control characters are special characters used for formatting your files for printing. Basically, these special characters are actually codes that instruct the printer about things like when to go to the next physical line on a page, when to go back to the left margin on a line, how many spaces to tab over, when to go to the next physical page, and so on. Some control code sequences get real fancy, and we won't discuss them here. We'll concentrate instead on the ones we use the most in writing. A more complete listing is in Appendix B in the back of this manual. Before we review the commonly used control characters and show you how to write them, let's backtrack for a minute to review the concept of word processing in general. Back in the days when you typed on a typewriter or a braille writer, you were limited in many ways. You could never insert a word here, delete a paragraph there, change one word to another, copy text from one page to another, etc., without retyping. Word processing lets you do all that, too, but it also eliminates you having to worry about how many words fit on a line and where to hyphenate words, how many lines fit on a page, cutting over spaces when writing in columns, setting margins, and so forth. One of the nicest features of word processing is this. The computer wraps words around lines for you, knows when to go to the next page, and even keeps track of the number of pages in a document. Let's take an example using the sentence we just wrote in our practice file. At last check, our cursor was at column 56, or the 56th position on a line. And remember that the braille light defines a line as containing everything between one carriage return and the next. But anyone who reads and writes braille knows that the largest braille page can only accommodate at most 40 characters on a line. When you print this file, the braille light knows how long to make each line, because we will tell it with settings you control from the status menu. We'll show you more about that later. The point is that you don't have to know where you are on a line as you're going along writing text. No bell goes off when you've reached a certain point on a line to warn you to go to the next line. Nothing alerts you that you're at the bottom of a page and had better take this one out and start on a fresh page. So, how do you start on a new page? Even if you've only written a few lines on the current page? How do you move down a couple of lines and indent to start a new paragraph? That's where control characters come on the scene. When the computer takes care of wrapping text from line to line and going from page to page, it is said to be doing soft carriage returns and page breaks. When you actually write a control character to force such an action, it is said to be doing a hard carriage return or a hard page break. A carriage return takes you back to the first physical position, or column, on a line, in other words, to the left margin. You write a hard carriage return on the braille light by pressing a .46 chord. Write a .46 chord now into your currently open file, practice. The braille light says, new line. Now do a WH sign chord. Notice that the braille light says, column 0, cursor at 58. This is because a carriage return brings you back to the left margin of a line. In other words, your cursor is now positioned at the beginning of a line, waiting for you to enter text. A line feed by itself only moves you down one physical line, but does not reposition you at the left margin of the line. You don't need to write line feeds into the braille light at all, since the braille light has a way of attending them for you. This only becomes important when you're sending a braille light file to your printer or transmitting it to your computer, so we'll hold off on the discussion of how to add line feeds until we talk about transmitting files in section 15.1.2. A tab on the braille light leaves you a certain number of spaces to the right on a line. You determine how many spaces. To tab on the braille light, press a .45 chord. Try it now. The braille light says column. Write in number 5, and remember to write in ASCII notation or dot E. Click on E chord to execute the command. Now press the WH on chord. The bell light says, column 4, cursor at 64. In other words, the braille light stays over to the 5th position from the left margin and place the cursor there for you to write something. Check this out by pressing dot 2 chord to move the cursor back a character at a time until you hear return, when the cursor lands on the character return you wrote before. Now write hello and press the dot 4-6 chord to issue another character return. But wait! Don't we have to move the cursor forward to the end of the file to where we had previously tabbed? No. The bell light protects you from overwriting text. No matter where you last read in your file, when you write something, the bell light jumps to the end of the file and attends to it. So the H of the word hello we just wrote was automatically placed on the 6th position of the line, just where we stopped when we tabbed before. The carriage return we just wrote after the word hello is now the last character in the file, and anything further we write will be placed after that carriage return. Remember that in chapter 3, we talked about displaying special characters. We suggest you review section 3.4.3 at this point, because as we write control characters and soon format strings, it'll become essential to know exactly what your file contains. For example, in that section we talked about the display all mode. If you turn that setting on, you'll catch extra spaces you might have put into your file accidentally. And you'll certainly see the evidence of the tag we put in just before the word hello. A form sheet or hard page break control character forces your printer to go to the next physical page. This means that if you decide you want to start writing on a new physical page, not braille light page, you can write a control character so that when you print the file, text following the form feed character will be printed on the next physical page. To write a form feed, press an X chord. The braille light does not prompt you at this point. Now write a letter L. The braille light says control L. You have written a hard page break into your file. Now write, this is page 2, followed by a carriage return. By the way, you write most control characters in the braille light with an X chord followed by a letter. Carriage returns and tabs are so commonly used that a single T chord is provided for them. Later, when we talk about how to prepare a file for printing, we'll get into more specifics about page length, line length, and so on. All of those parameters and more can be adjusted as you need them on the fly. Here we should stop and talk about word wrapping from the viewpoint of the braille display, because you may need to take word wrapping into account as you write. Word wrapping on the braille display. There is a setting on the status menu that controls how the display breaks up words. From the factory, word wrap comes turned off, and you'll probably want it this way most of the time. As you're writing though, notice how the braille display shows the text you write. Until you write a space, the braille light doesn't know where you intend the word to end, and so it appears not to be wrapping your text. However, you'll see that if you go over what you wrote by tapping the advance bar backward and forward, word wrap is in effect. Of course, there may be times when you don't particularly want word wrap on, especially if you're writing computer programming code, say, or if you're using the formatting character strings we discuss in the next section. In such cases, where it's important to know exactly how many spaces there are between words or character strings, having the braille light decide where to break up such strings for you may be confusing. Understand that this option on the status menu only affects the way strings of characters are broken up when they're displayed, it has no effect whatsoever on how words are broken up on paper when you print your file. Enter the status menu with an STFile cord, .34 cord. Jump to the setting by pressing the W cord. The bell light says Word Wrap on. Write a letter N to turn it off. Exit the status menu with an E cord. Now, read the display, and you'll see that words are not broken up at spaces necessarily. The display shows you as many characters as possible, up to 18 characters at a time, regardless of where a word ends. You can, of course, turn these settings off at any time by re-entering the status menu and writing a letter N. As with other commands related to the appearance of Braille on the display, you can also toggle the word wrap mode on the display by pressing the advanced bar together with the letter W. This makes it easy to change this setting on the fly, depending on your needs at any given time. News 4.9. Writing repeated character strings. Before we start exploring how to format text, that is, how to make it appear visually pleasing when printed or braille, let's stop and look at a new feature that's very simple to understand and use. When you want to create a border or boundary between one block of text and another for emphasis or clarity, generally speaking, it's a good idea to write a line of repeated characters between the blocks of text you want to separate. Sighted people use this technique a lot more than blind people in writing because Braille is so bulky anyway. Why clutter it up with a whole row of stars or dashes or whatever? Even in Braille, though, when you see rows of dashes to indicate that a new print page is about to begin, you see rows of dots 2, 3, 5, 6, or parenthesis marks, bordering certain texts in catalogs or notebooks. And certainly there are times when we want to leave a lot of blank spaces free on a line, not necessarily to center the text, but maybe to leave spaces for someone to fill in a response, say, or to jot down comments about what's on the page. In any case, what we're talking about here is the ability to write the same character repeatedly for a specific number of places on the page. To do this, we can use the same command we used to create a tab, .45 chord. But this time, instead of writing a number, which tells the Braille light to tab over X number of places, we write the character we want repeated, followed by the number of times we want it repeated, and then press an E chord to execute the command. Let's say we want a row of dashes to appear after the line where the title of the chapter appears. Let's use the title of this section as an example. In your practice file, go ahead and write a character return now to make sure we're all on a new line and write the title of this section. Write a repeated character string. And another character return. Then press .45 chord. The Braille light says column and wait for your instruction. Write a dash, .36, and for a print document, something like 65, or for a Braille document, perhaps 30. The number of repeats is entirely up to you, of course, and depends on the line length you have set. Make sure you write the number of times you want the character repeated in dropped number notation, and then press an E chord. The Braille light instantly places you on the last of your repeated characters and awaits your next keystroke. You'll probably want to write a character return right away, because otherwise you may end up wrapping the row of dashes you just created around to the next line below, and you probably don't want that. Technically speaking, you can't have more than 255 repeated characters, but since that's well over one line anyway, chances are you won't want to use a number that high anyway, and so you're unlikely to run into a problem with this limit. And, of course, you can't use a number as a repeated character, because when you press a box 454, then write a number, the bell light assumes that number is the number of spaces you want to tab. As we stated earlier, this feature is most useful for creating visual borders around text you want to highlight in some way. Now, let's move on to formatting in general, and there's a lot to discuss, so we suggest you take a break now. Start that section with a fresh cup of coffee, or perhaps tomorrow. There's a great deal to consider when creating well-formatted documents. Formatting text. If you're already familiar with word processing, you know that you control how text actually appears on paper. This is true both in ball and in print. You don't have to count out how many spaces are needed to center text. Even if you insert or delete whole blocks of text, page numbering is accurate when you finally print any portion of your document. You don't have to keep track of how many lines you've used up on each page for headers or footers to print out where they belong on each page. You can set up the margins however you want them and then readjust them for blocking text within your document. These are only just a few of the things a word processor can do for you. As to the physical appearance of text, word processing can italicize text, underline it, put it in boldface, even change the shape of the characters you print. Depending on your printer, the selection of print type, font, can be huge. Of course, Braille is rather limited when compared to the number of options you have in print. There is only one choice in Braille for what an A looks like, whereas in print, the choices are virtually endless. Italics, boldfaces, and underlining don't really exist in Braille, but at least you can emphasize text. Use the box 4-6 indicator. Nevertheless, there are many things you can do whether your document is meant to be printed or brailled, or both. You can center text, address margins, number pages, arrange for headers and footers to appear where they belong on each page, and so on. Therefore, although you have no control over the physical appearance of their characters, you still have much to say about how the text is laid out, even in there. All of the things we've been talking about can be controlled using formatting commands. These are actual strings of characters that you write into your files to make the text come out looking as if you had physically typed it on a typewriter or a braille writer. Many of the commands we're exploring this section work whether your file is a braille file, that is, a file written in grade 2 braille, whether your file is written in computer braille, or whether you intend to print the file to an ink printer, or braille it with a braille embosser. These commands affect the layout of the text more than anything else. Except for the commands that change the appearance of characters, virtually all of them format either files to be printed or brailled. First, let's remind ourselves about the types of printers the braille light recognizes. We mentioned briefly early on that you can choose between Epson compatible or image writer compatible printers on the braille light. We chose these two printers because they are among the most popular types of printers today. But what do we mean by compatible? Well, here we have to get a bit technical for a minute, but don't be put off. It's not so hard to understand the concept. Have you ever wondered how a printer or a braille embosser knows when to go to the next line, to the next page, to center text, to underline it, and so on? As we discussed in section 4.7, you can write control characters to instruct the printer to start a new page or to move to the next line. You can also write special strings of characters into your file that instruct the printer about the layout and appearance of your document. These strings are not printed, rather they signal the printer to pay attention and perform some command. But still, How does the printer know how many lines to travel to get to the next page? How does it know when it's at the end of a line and needs to move to the next line when you don't specifically instruct it to do so with a carriage return and line feed? Printers are always busy counting. They count how many lines down the page have been printed and how many are left to be printed or skipped. They can therefore tell when to change pages. They count how many characters, including spaces, have been printed on any given line and how many are left to be printed or skipped before it's time to move down to the next line. Even when you instruct the printer to skip lines or tab across a page or to print some text in larger letters or fine print, the printer is still keeping track of the physical space available on each page. That's all well and good, but unfortunately, complications in the instruction process may arise depending on your choice of printer. Manufacturers program their printers to be able to receive our instructions, but most have done it in their own special way. The printer knows what to do because it has what are known as escape sequences that it understands. These are character strings, much like the ones we talked about writing into your file, but they are specific to a particular printer. So in other words, printer X may use a certain escape sequence or code to perform a carriage return, but printer Y may use an entirely different escape code in its internal programming to perform the same carriage return. In an effort to avoid confusion, many manufacturers are now programming printers to understand the escape code that Epson printers and image writer printers understand. So if your printer is either of these, or if it is compatible with either Epson or image writer, that is, if your printer can understand the same escape code as Epson and image writer printers do, then you're in business. Learning the formatting commands we are going to discuss is enough. Even if it's not immediately compatible, it may be possible to make it compatible by flipping a switch on your printer or by tricking it into thinking it's an Epson or image writer. Check out your printer manual or with your dealer. Or if the technical support staff of your printer's manufacturer. If your printer is not compatible with either of the types supported by the Braille Light, you'll need to learn the appropriate escape code for your printer to format your documents properly for printing. In that case, rather than using the fairly uncomplicated commands we'll show you here, you probably need to use at least some escape code in your files. Generally, escape codes begin with the escape character, or control character available to you, just like the control character for carriage return we've mentioned so often. To write an escape code that begins with the escape character, press an X code, and then write an OW sign, .246. The Braille Light says escape, but displays nothing, since this is a character that is not part of the standard Braille character set. Then write whatever other characters make up the string. Remember, this is not a Braille-like command, so you don't end it with an E chord. Probably a space is all you need to end the string. Having said all that, let's now return to formatting commands the Braille Light understands and that are supported by Epson and the Image Writer printers. All of these commands begin with a dollar sign, .1246. Wait. Isn't that the ED sign? Yes, but it's also the dollar sign in computer Braille. It's important to keep this in mind, since when numbers are part of a string, you must write them in computer Braille. Also, you must surround all formatting commands with spaces. If you don't, the Braille Light assumes that you want to print the string, because it assumes that the string is part of your text. Incidentally, in addition to using the dot 4-6 chord to force a carriage return, a hard return, or two of them to indicate a new paragraph, or a control L, X chord followed by the letter L, to force the text to continue on a new page, a hard case break, you can use formatting thing. The thing $L means new line. The thing $T means new paragraph. And the thing $F means new page. Let's move on now to margins, since they affect everything else. Point 10.1, setting and adjusting margins. Whether you're intending to print or braille a document, you may want to adjust your margins, especially if you want to block off sections of text by indenting or outdenting it. In print, in particular, you may want to make all your text align to the right margin or to some left margin different from the one you normally use. You may want a bigger or smaller top or bottom margin. We have set certain defaults for you in the status menu for creating H-print and Braille documents. In a minute, we'll look at how to change these defaults with formatting things, but here's how the formatting process works. By default, which is set to page length and line length. Brailing. By default, we assume a braille line length of 32 characters and a left margin of 1 character. Since you can have literally 34 characters across an 8.5 by 11 inch piece of braille paper, these defaults mean that you have 32 places across each line for printable text to appear. Your left margin is 1, and by default, your right margin is also 1. In other words, the embosser will know that it must provide you with an empty space in the first place on the line, and then after printing up to the 33rd place on the line, it must wrap your text to the next line on the page. Likewise, we assume there are 25 printable lines on each bare page, and a top margin of 1. Since there are a maximum of 27 possible lines on each bare page, your embosser will know that it must provide you with a blank line at the top of each page, then print up to 25 lines, provide another blank line for your bottom margin of 1 line, then move to the next physical page. Printing. It works more or less the same way for inkprint documents, except that the defaults are a line length of 75 and a left margin of 10, giving you 65 places for printable characters going across the page, and a right margin of 10. In addition, the default page length is 60, with a top margin of 6, giving you 54 printable lines of text. If page numbering is turned off in the status menu, when the printer encounters the 60th line on a page, it forces the printer to go to the next physical page. If page numbering is turned on in the status menu, when the printer encounters the 60th line on a page, it counts an additional 6 blank lines and then moves to the next physical page. In either case, you end up with a bottom margin of 6 blank lines. All of the formatting commands begin with a dollar sign, and most of the margin commands are followed immediately by the letter M, and then usually by some number specifying the number of spaces you want the margin to have. Let's take an example. The print defaults we provide assume that you have a print font whose size accommodates 10 characters per inch going across the page and 6 lines per inch going down the page. Therefore, our defaults provide you with a 1-inch margin all around the text on the page. There might be times, however, when you want to have different margins, say half an inch instead of 1-inch margins. Let's see how this would work out with some sample numbers. Assuming you're starting with a left margin of 10, which is literally 10 spaces in the left edge of the paper, and is the default setting for each print document, to set your left margin to 5 instead, write space dollar sign M L 5 space. We replace the single quotes around the exact string for clarity and readability. When written properly, the string reads space dollar ML 5 space. with a face written on either side of it. Our new left margin of 5 has actually brought the left margin closer to the left edge of the page by 5 spaces. Assuming the right margin is set to 0, which by default is 10 places away from the right edge of the page, change the right margin by 5 with the string $MR5. For sample purposes, let's assume that page numbering is turned off, since this is the default in the status menu anyway. Use the top margin of 6, which is also the default for inkjet documents. Let's change this margin to 3 with the string $MP3. To change the bottom margin also to 3, write $MB3. Since the printer's default page length is 60 with the top margin of 6, and we've now changed to the top margin 2-3, we should also change our page length to compensate for only margins. The new page length should be 63, giving us a top margin of 3, 60 printable lines of text, and a bottom margin of 3. So our new settings provide half an inch of margin all the way around the text on the page. If you want to increase the size of the margin you already have, and you already set it to 5, for example, you increase it by placing a plus sign, that's 3, 4, 6, before the number in your string. So you'd write $ML plus 5. In our example, that now gives us the left margin of 10. If you increase the right margin by 5 with $MR plus 5, your right margin will be 10 spaces from the right edge of the page. When you want to return to a margin you had before, place a minus sign, that's 3, 6, before the number in the string. So in our example, to return the left margin to 5, 5 spaces from the left edge of the page, you'd write $ML minus 5. If you want to outstamp text, that is, have the text stick out on a line at the margin to the left of your current margin, write the string $OUT. The text following that string appears to the left of where you are by one tab stop. We'll talk about tabs in detail and how to set them later in section 4.10.3. Suppose you started out with a left margin of 5 spaces and have now increased it 5 spaces further in from the left edge of the paper, giving you a current margin of 10. Then to make the first line of text stick out to the left of the rest of the text, write the string $OUT. Text on your current line begins at the 5th space from the left edge of the page, but then wrap back into your present margin of 10 and subsequent lines. This is especially effective for numbered items, like questions on a survey. You may have heard of the word justification. No, we're not talking about justifying your actions. In computer ease, justification has to do with aligning text to margin. It really should be called alignment. But since the lingo is justification, we use it here, too. And a string that justifies text uses the letter J. Of course, text is normally left justified, or aligned to the left margin. Whether the left margin is at the left edge of the paper, 5 spaces in, as we said it, or however many spaces in from the left edge, text always aligns to the current left margin, unless you do something specific to force it to align to something else. For example, you can tab at the beginning of a line to force text to start further in from the current left margin. When text wraps around to the next line, or when you force it to start on a new line near the hard carriage return, however, it aligns itself to the current left margin. To right justify text means to make it align to the right margin, however you have that margin set, and regardless of how you have the left margin set. So, Since we set our right margin to 5 spaces from the right edge of the page, if you write the string $JR, all your text after that point will align itself to that margin. To return to a normal left margin justification of your text, write the string $JN. To adjust text to align itself as much as possible both to the left and right margins, only in print, not in braille, you can write the string for full justification, $JF. The printer then apportions the text as evenly as possible across the page, so as to prevent visual gaps in its layout and make it more visually pleasing. Of course, in braille, the goal is usually to squeeze as much text as possible on each line without losing its meaning. We suggest keeping your braille file set to no justification, which is the standard or default setting anyway. We just touched on the subject of page length a few minutes ago, when we said that your braille embosser counts every 25 or 27 lines on a braille page. Similarly, we said that ink printers count 66 lines on a print page. Ink printers assume a bottom margin of 0, first page numbering is turned off, as we said above, and a top margin of 6. Further, the default line length is 75 and the default page length is 60. If you're familiar with a word processor like WordPerfect, you're used to setting lines and margins referred to in terms of inches rather than physical lines or characters across a page. The number of lines and characters per inch varies according to the print size, height, and the print width of your characters. And that depends largely on font type. Even when starting with a particular font type, you can change the print and point size of text by making it larger or smaller for a portion of the text. Remember that we said fonts were styles of printing for characters. You may have heard of the Pica or Elite font on a typewriter. Ink printers are able to produce many other fonts. The choice is a matter of visual preference, and you may need to ask for a coworker's or a friend's opinion as to what font looks right for your document. For example, the font known as Prestige is very professional looking. Courier is the most common font, and Stick looks almost like handwriting. All in all, it can be very confusing and may certainly be mind-boggling if you've never seen or worked with print. The bottom line, though, is to consider what the ink printer counts vertically and horizontally. Generally, for a standard 8.5 by 11 inch page, the printer assumes 6 lines per inch and 10 characters across the page. So it counts 66 lines vertically and 80 characters horizontally. So for example, if you set a top margin of 6 and don't set anything else such as the page length, it is set to 60 by default. The ink printer says, okay, I have 72 lines per page. But since I can only count up to 66 lines per page, I'll take these extra 6 lines and put them on the next page. And then I'll do a form feed to a third page so that I can start counting again. In other words, you have a mess. You need to set a page length that the printer can understand. To set the length of a page, you have to keep that 66 line limit in the forefront. Whatever your top margin is and whatever your bottom margin is, you need to subtract 1 from 66 to obtain the number to which you set your page length. So, if your top margin is 6 and your bottom margin is also 6, as set by the printer itself, your printable page length is 54. You set the page length with the string $PL54. Let's say that you decide to have top and bottom margins of 3. Subtracting 1 from 66 gives you a page length of 60, and so your page length string would be dollar to $50. Likewise, you can affect the page width using the string $2W, followed by a number to instruct the printer how many characters it should print across the page. Again, like the example of top and bottom margin, if you have a left margin of 5 and a right margin of 5, you have to subtract 1 from the total number of characters that can fit across the line. As we suggested earlier, for ink printers, this can vary widely, depending on the font type. In any case, we'll assume that 80 characters fit across the page. So, using our example of left and right margins of 5, subtracting them gives 70, and so your line length is 70. You'd set the line length with the string $2W70. By the way, when you increase the left or right margin, you don't have to do anything about the line length. The printer remembers that your original line length was, say, 70, as in our example. Of course, if you decrease the size of your left or right margin, you have to keep in mind your total printable line length, so you don't run into the mess we described above of more lines than the printer can count for the page. Let's use our example with left and right margin set to 5 and the printer counting a printable line length of 70 characters. If you reset your left and right margin to, say, minus 10, you're really saying that your printable character count is 80. But you're asking the printer to count a total of 90. And since it can't, you'll have a problem. In Braille, you probably want a line length of 40 or 30, depending on whether you're using the larger or smaller paper available for Braille. This generally means left and right margins of 1, since you can fit 42 characters across the page from edge to edge for the larger 11 by 11.5 inch paper, and 32 characters across for the smaller 8.5 by 11 inch paper. Of course, your Braille embosser may not give you a choice about paper size, in which case you need to set up all your files to the same parameters. For 10.2, formatting and a status menu. During our brief walk through the status menu in section 1.5.2, we ran across format parameters as we browse through the various cases. The group begins with the setting for image writer or Epson and continues through the setting for the top margin in Braille. Let's take a look at these settings now with respect to how they apply to our present discussion. It's crucial to keep in mind that the format strings that use the dollar sign override equivalent status menu settings. But it's equally important to understand that you don't necessarily have to use the dollar sign strings at all. If your document is fairly simple, that is, without justification of text, without indented text, and so on, you don't need to include format strings in your file for line length, page length, and margins. You can simply set them to the status menu. This can be especially handy when you intend to dull the document as well as print it, because the status menu lets you set both print and dull parameters for the same file. Obviously, you can't set your file up with $ML5, which you intend as a left margin for your print file, and expect that the Braille left margin you set to 1 for the status menu is also in effect. As we said, format strings override status menu settings. So, the way to avoid confusion is to use only the status menu settings when you intend to Braille and print the same file. Of course, you can still use format strings for centering, page numbering, and so forth. But be careful if you decide to increase or decrease a margin. For example, let's say you set your print left margin through the status menu to 5, and the Braille left margin to 1. Then if you decide to increase your left margin by 5, by writing the format string $ML+5, both your Braille and print files will show a new left margin of 10. Why? Again, the format theme overrides their left margin settings. In the status menu. So, we recommend that you use one or the other, but not both, methods for formatting margins, line length, and page length. Here's how you set things up using the status menu. One particular setting in the status menu can affect whether the margins, line length, and page length settings for your ink printer work for all your files. This is the Make Parameters File Specific setting. It's important that you understand up front that, regardless of how the file specific setting is set, the formatting things we've discussed in the previous section override any equivalent settings in the status menu. Also notice that we were careful to emphasize that the file specific setting applies to ink printing. Since braille margins are generally the same from file to file anyway, this setting does not affect braille format parameters. So, whatever settings you have in effect in the status menu for braille margins, line length, and page length, they apply to all files you braille. However, chances are you don't want all the files you print to have the same margins, line length, and page length. So you can turn the setting on to ensure that they print out with your file-specific settings. Bring up the status menu with the usual STFAN cord. You'll be wherever you were the last time you exited the status menu. So you may have to cycle to the format parameters using with .56 cord or .33 cord. Or jump to the first setting in the grouping by writing an R. This brings you to the place for ImageWriter or Epson. If you haven't already done so, choose the appropriate printer with an R for ImageWriter or an E for Epson. Then press the .4 cord. Now you're at the setting for print line length. The default is 75, as we mentioned in the last section. Change it to your printable line length, keeping in mind our discussion of how to arrive at the right number. For example, write 70, using dropped number notation, of course. Then press an E chord to enter your choice. And another .4 chord to move to the next setting. Now you're at the setting for front left margin. Write a 5, say, and press an E chord to enter it. And another .4 chord to move to the next setting for print page length. Keep in mind our earlier warnings about page length on write 54, for example. Then enter it with an E chord. Now press another .4 chord to see the setting for print top margin. Go ahead and set it to something like 3, as in our earlier example. You could stop here by exiting the status menu with an E chord, or if you want to set braille margin, line length, and page length settings, continue as above with .4 chords to move to each one and set them as we have found. Then enter the status menu with an E chord. For page 10.2, document layout. How nice not to have to count out exactly how many spaces it takes to center text, or to make columns of text. How convenient not to have to count how many lines of text you can write in order to fit a running header or footer on each page, and not to have to rewrite that header or footer on each page. How pleasant not to have to worry about numbering pages, especially when you edit your text so much, by adding and deleting, moving and copying whole sections of it. Let's first talk about centering text. Centering. You can center text a line at a time. It's pretty straightforward. To center a line of text, write the format thing, $C, before the actual text you want centered. Press a .46 cord, a hard carriage return, to end centering. If the text to be centered runs over one line, you'll need to center each line by hand. Here's one instance where checking the location of the cursor can be very helpful. If you recall, the WH sign chords, command, tells you where the cursor is in terms of how many characters you are from the beginning of the file, as well as how far you are from the last hard drive return. Your decision about where to break out text to be centered over more than one line depends on whether you intend to bail or print the document, and on whether you have grade 2 bail translation in effect. For example, if you want to bail your document on 8.5 by 11 inch paper with a line width of 32 characters, and the text you want to center is the name of the present chapter, including the chapter number, you may not make it on one bail line. Better to cut it up so that chapter 4 appears centered on the first line, and writing in your files appears centered on the next line. On the other hand, if you want to print your document and you're writing your file in grade 2 bail, remember that the number of characters may expand when turned into print. So, for example, if the text to be centered includes the word character, 2 spaces worth in grade 2 bail, which expands to 9 spaces worth in print, you need to take that into account when deciding where to cut up what portion of the text goes on which line to be centered. Cutters and fitters. Now, what if you want the centered text to repeat on each page? This is called a running header or footer, depending on whether it's at the top or bottom of the page. In a way, page numbers are the simplest example of running headers or footers, since you set them up in much the same way as text, and since you can position them to run on each page. To tell the Braille light what text you want to use as a header, write the format string $HB. Then write the actual text of the header, including centering and any other format string you want to use to make the header appear as you want it to on each page. Here again, a hard carriage return, that four-foot chord, ends the header, just as it ends centering. Suppose you want to disable the header temporarily, say to insert a page with a chart on it that needs a header of its own, that you want to use only one time. In such a case, don't bother marking that header with the $HB string. Just write it out. To disable the running header for that page, though, begin the page with the string $H-, set the next page with $H+ string to resume the running header. Footers work much the same way, except that the format string is $FB to create the running footer, and $F- to disable it, and $F+ to enable it again. Tabbing. Now let's get into tabbing. To set up tabs, to create a table, for instance, first decide how many spaces to have between columns and how many columns fit on your page. This depends not only on the amount of text in each column, but also on the width of the page. As you probably already know, in Braille, this is very limited. Tables and bills only work after much planning. We'll take a simple example. Say you want 3 columns of numbers across a page, and you know that none of the numbers has more than 5 digits in it. So you can make the space between each column 3 spaces wide. Set up the columns with the string $TS, followed by the number of spaces you want the tab to move you. In our example, this is the string $TS3. Remember, this only sets up the size of the tab. To actually move my tabs then, make a string $T, followed by the text of the column. So a line in our example reads something like this. 1, 2, 3, space, $T, space. 4, 5, 6, 7. Space, $T, space, 8910. If you don't need to set a tab, But we do need to sort text a certain number of columns in from your left margin. Write this thing, dollar, P-O, followed by a two-digit number. So for example, if you want to start getting spaces in from the left margin for a particular line of text, precede the text with dollar $2,007. Page numbering. Now let's talk about page numbering. It's ever so nice not to have to concern yourself with numbering pages by hand, but you do have some control over the location of page numbers, especially in print, and whether the pages are numbered using Arabic numerals, like 1, 2, 3, and so forth, or whether they are numbered using Roman numerals, like capital I, capital II, capital III, and so on. As for tables of contents, to set up your file to number pages, enter the status menu with an STCAM code and jump to the number pages option by writing a number sign, .3456. The bell light says number pages off. Turn on numbering with a Y. Turn it off again with an N. Exit the status menu with a new code. Or, to set the page number and type as numerals to use, first use the format string $PNAR for Arabic numerals or $PNRN for Roman numerals. Then use the format string $P followed by a number from 1 to 999 to establish the starting page number. That's good when you're setting up a file which is a continuation of another. For example, if the present file is chapter 2 of your great American novel, you want to start it with the page following wherever chapter 1 ends, say 26. So your page number format string would read $P26. Now you need to decide where to position the page number. For Braille files that are going to be printed with a Braille embosser, page numbering always goes in the same place, on the top right of the page. But for files you intend to print, you have six options. They include the top left, top center, and top right of the page, or the bottom left, bottom center, or bottom right of the page. Use the format string, $PNPL, $PNPC, and $PNPR for the top left, center, and right positions. Use the strings $PNBL, $PNBC, and $PNBR for the bottom left, center, and right positions. If you want no page numbering at all, you could also use the format string $PNNP for no numbering instead of turning off the setting to the status menu as the sound above. Next is how to change the appearance of printed characters. Changing the appearance of print text. As we mentioned earlier, not all printers let you change the appearance of text with the format strings we described here. Only printers that are Epson or ImageWriter compatible understand these things. All printers understand centering, tabs, page numbering, and so on. But if your printer is not compatible with the pre-read support, you may have to use escape codes for that specific printer to achieve the same result. To make text appear in boldface, use the string $BB to start boldface and the string $BF to finish it. To italicize text, start it with the string $IB and finish it with the string $IF. To underline text, start underlining with the string $UB and finish with the string $UF. Finally, to double strike text to make it look even more emphatic, use the string $BBFB to begin and the string $BBFS to finish. If you want to stop thinking altogether before the end of your file, for example, after the first page in a two-page file, write the string $ES at the point where you want thinking to stop. And if you don't want to stop thinking, but you want to pause the printer between pages, write the string $W to make the printer wait after printing each page so that you can insert another page, or so that you can examine the page you just printed. If you want to double or triple space a print document, for example, a document for school that a professor needs to grade, write the string $LS followed by a number. So $LST makes your document print with a blank line between each printed line, and with four blank lines instead of two between each paragraph. What's nice is that you can double space a portion of a document, but leave other portions in single space mode by using these formatting strings. In section 15.2.4, we'll show you a quick way to get a whole document to print double space without having to insert formatting strings into the document itself. Inserting a timestamp on a printed document. In section 7.2.4, we'll show you how to insert a particular date and time into your file without having to write it in by hand. However, using formatting strings like the ones we've been discussing, you can insert a stamp onto a printed document with the date and time the document is printed. Clearly, you may not always print a document the minute you create it. In fact, in most cases, it may be days or weeks before you need to print it. Or it may be minutes. In any case, some jobs require very accurate time stamping, for example, a receptionist taking messages who prints a message the instant it is received. To insert a date and time stamp into your file so that the date and time it is printed appears in the document, write the string $PM. For the time, and $DT for the date. .6, skipping blocks of text to print. What do you do if there's a portion of your file you don't want to print? For instance, let's say that you have a 5-page file, but you only want to print from page 3 to page 5, because the print is jammed on page 3. Place the string $left parenthesis just before the area you want to skip, and then the string $right parenthesis just after the block of text to be skipped. Page numbering should still be in effect accurately. Selecting your writing mode. By this time, you may be wondering how to write so that each character isn't spoken back to you as you braille. Let's show you a couple of options. You can have each word spoken as you complete brailing it instead of hearing each character spoken as you braille it. Also, you can have the keys click as you braille, or have a totally silent keyboard as you braille. Get into the Speech Parameters menu with an AR sign cord. The bell light says Speech Parameters. Press the space bar. The bell light says T-click on. Click an E chord. The bell light says exit. Now try writing something in your file. You'll hear a short click each time you press a key, and the characters are no longer spoken as you braille. Enter the Speech Parameters menu again and press the space bar. The bell light says silent keys. Exit the Speech Parameters menu and write something in your file. Notice that the bell light is totally silent as you write. And if you try to read what you just wrote, you may be surprised. From the factory, the bell light comes with the cursor tracking turned on. Cursor tracking means that the speaking cursor is at the same place as the writing cursor. What? Two cursors? Well, in effect, yes. Remember our long discussion of reading by words, characters, or lines, even by sentences or paragraphs, in Chapter 3. When you're reading by using the Braille light's voice, the Braille light is keeping track of where you are. We even showed you how to find out where that cursor is with the WH fan cord. But now that you're writing, the Braille light has to remember where you are as you write and where you are as you read. Isn't it the same? Well, not necessarily. You might be writing down a reminder to yourself, but have to go back and read a date to include in that reminder, for example. As long as you don't have a silent keyboard for writing, you're okay, because the Braille light is saying each letter or word you're writing, and therefore is tracking what it's speaking. But if your keyboard is silent, and you still want to track where you are writing, rather than track the last thing the Braille light spoke, cursor tracking must be on. Enter the status menu with an SD fan cord, and then jump to the setting by writing a letter C. If the setting happens to be off, write a Y to turn on cursor tracking. Enter the status menu with a new cord. Then, still with your silent keyboard in effect, write something, and then read the current word. You should now hear the last word you wrote. For those cases where you need the speaking cursor where the Braille light last spoke, turn cursor tracking off by re-entering the status menu and writing a C followed by an N to turn it off. Or you can press a key cord to bring up the parameters menu from anywhere within your file. Write a C to jump to the setting and turn off cursor tracking at the prompt, cursor tracking YRM. Remember that you don't have to press an E chord from the parameters menu responding to the prompt is all you need to do. You should immediately be back where you last were in your file. And what about the Braille display? Well, in effect, there's a third cursor that tracks the Braille display. We'll call this Braille display tracking keyboard tracking to distinguish it from its cursor tracking, which is specifically refers to the speaking cursor. As with the silent keyboard example of writing and then reading with the Braille light's voice, the Braille display doesn't move just because you're writing something. Even if cursor tracking is on and the speaking voice is tracking what you're writing, the Braille display only moves if its cursor is also tracking what you're writing. Get into the status menu with an ST sound cord and jump to keyboard tracking with a K cord. The status of this setting is off from the factory. Turn it on by writing a Y and then exit the status menu with an E chord. Now write something and you'll see that the Braille cursor we talked about in Chapter 3, that 7-8, pops up under each character you write. Since there may be times when you need keyboard tapping on or off, just for a minute, you can toggle it on and off on the fly, without having to go into the status menu. Simply press the letter K together with the advanced bar to toggle the setting on and off. But we suggest keeping keyboard tapping on most of the time when you're writing, to be certain you're writing what you're reading with the Braille display. At least, do this until you're very experienced at toggling these various cursors and modes. The choice between having these multiple cursor tracking modes on or off really depends on what you're doing, and you'll probably find uses for all variations. And to complicate matters even more, when you look at transmitting data from a PC or a modem to your Braille light, we'll have to introduce you to yet another cursor that tracks that data. But we'll worry about that in Chapter 15. Mostly, we suggest keeping both cursor tracking and keyboard tracking on to avoid confusion about what you last wrote. While having a totally silent keyboard may be great in a meeting, you may want some feedback about what you're writing. Of course, you could always read what we have written in the usual manner, with current line or sentence commands, and so on. Or you could simply turn speech off and use the bell displayed by itself. But you might find it convenient to hear words spoken as you braille them into your file. Press a G-chord from anywhere within your file, the bell light says. Interactive, okay. Try writing something. Words are now spoken as you braille. You can turn this feature off again simply by issuing another G-chord. The bell light says off, okay. Try writing something in both modes to find the one that is most comfortable for you. But you may be more interested in tracking what you're reading than what you're writing in a file. For example, if you have a set of notes in the braille light to which you're responding, you might want to write your comments at the end of the file, but not lose your place as you read the notes. In such a scenario, you might want the cursor not to track what you are writing. Turn cursor tracking off from either the status menu or the parameters menu. Enter the status menu with an ST-sign chord and write a C. You hear cursor tracking on. Respond with an N and enter the status menu with an E chord. From now on, what you write is appended to the end of the file, as always, but you'll be able to continue reading elsewhere in the file. Turn cursor tracking back on by re-entering the status menu and responding with a Y to the prompt. Then exit the status menu with an E chord. Or simply enter the parameters menu with a P chord and write a letter C. At the prompt, cursor tracking, enter wire N, write a Y. The bell light confirms OK to once again track what you are writing. Finally, just one more setting you might want to turn on before we move into how to edit your work. On a typewriter, a bell warns you when you're approaching the end of a line. Even though you don't have to worry about all that on a computer because it automatically word wraps for you, there may be times when you do want to know where you are on a line. Is there a way to have the bell light ring a bell for you at the appropriate time? Not a bell, a beep. You can set the beep to go off anywhere from the first to the 255th character after the last carriage returns, or carriage return line feed pair. Enter the status menu with an ST-sign chord back to the 4 chord. Jump to the setting for column beep by writing a Q. The bell light says, beep at column 0, as set for the factory, so that no beep goes off at all. Change the setting to some number between 0 and 255. Best set it to something like 70 for a print file or 40 for a braille file. The only times you might want to set it to something longer is for computer programming code, perhaps. Write the number in dropped number notation, as always, then answering a prompt from the braille light with numbers. Then press an E chord for the braille light to accept your change, and another E chord to enter the status menu. From now on, as you write, whenever you pass over the column you set, say 70, the braille light beeps to let you know. Turn off column beeping by resetting it to 0. Practice writing. Don't worry about their mistakes for now. We can fix them, as we'll see in the next chapter.